So anyway, the Course in Miracles is a big pill to swallow. So in order to make it practical to me, it's about applying it to something that we think we are experiencing in our life so that we can bring it down from the abstract into the practical. And when you do that, it immediately brings you into your body. If, as long as you do spiritual stuff in my perception and you don't apply specifically the thing, then it just stays hidden. It just stays up in your head. And you'll be able to talk about concepts and stuff, but you won't be able to apply it. And I've had, lately especially, I've had several people talk to me about, why does it seem like they're not getting the result? And when I investigate a little bit further, I always find out that they're not applying it. They somehow think reading it, coming to a class, or analyzing it is the same thing as applying it. And until you actually apply it, you don't get the physical result. You know, like if the court says when somebody is acting crazy or doing something that's fearful or angry, that's a call for help. No, that's a call for love. Do you really go straight to as fast as you can, that's really a call for help, or that's a call for love? Or do you deal with it like this is a person that's doing something to you that you got to deal with? You see what I'm saying? So you can read the book, but then when the real situation happens, do you go, that's a call for love? You go, my mama did that to me. And what I find when I talk to people is that their actual physical actions do not correspond with what the truth is saying do. And that's what it would take to get the result, not just the intellectual concept. So, and that's true, I do that in some areas of my experience also. So when I listen to the Course now, I try to take a situation that I want to see differently. Then I take the principles and the steps, because that's all this is. It's just another way of thinking. That's all the Course in Miracles is. It's just another way of looking at things. And it's another world that goes with this other way of looking at things. So he says, the Bible tells you to become as little children. Okay, so the first thing I need to do about the situation that's on my mind right now is I need to become as a little child. Okay, so little children recognize they don't understand what they perceive. Okay, so then I go, I'm upset about this. This thing is on my mind, and I really don't understand it. So step number one is to say about the problem or situation, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. And then it says the next stage is to ask what it means. So you go, I don't understand this. What does this mean? You ask that. You ask God that. You ask your higher self that. The Course is not, God, you know, it's like the Creator is not a cartoon character. It's not something that's made up. It's the Creator is very real. And we certainly came from intelligence if we have intelligence. So to think that there isn't something with greater intelligence than us, even though we were created, that's what's kind of weird about the process of how people at the level of the world see evolution. Because evolution, is the way that the ego uses, supports the idea that you start off lesser and then you become greater. So I think that at some level that interferes with our ability to believe that there is something more intelligent than us. We think the intelligence starts with us and then works up from there. You know what I mean? I mean, if you think about it, that's the way people live. They don't live like there's some divine intelligence. They live like they've got to figure out how to handle everything themselves. And they're looking for somebody that can help them handle it by themselves better. And that's what the average person does. They don't believe that they didn't create themselves. They live their life just like they create themselves. So the Course says, well, if you want to do it correctly, if there's a situation that you need to say, first of all, I don't understand what I perceive. Then he says, then you ask what it means. And then he says, you don't make the mistake of believing that you understand what you see, for its meaning is lost to you. So don't make the mistake of thinking that you understand what you're perceiving if you are experiencing anger, upset, or fear. That's the basic premise of the Course. That anger, upset, and fear distort your perception. And so if you're angry, upset, or afraid, you're not seeing things clearly. I don't care how clear you think you are. If you're not at peace, then you don't understand what you perceive. That's what the Course teaches. Okay, then it goes on to say, but the Holy Spirit has saved this meaning for you, and if you let your higher self, the Holy Spirit, interpret it, the Holy Spirit will restore to you what you've thrown away. Yet while you think you know what it means, you're going to see no need to ask it of God. So as long as a person thinks they know what's going on, they're not going to ask their inner guide for guidance. So as soon as a person thinks they know what's going on, they do not ask for guidance. They do not ask for help. So the Course says that, well, you've thrown your peace away, so you need to have your peace restored. And it says that the Holy Spirit, which is the God in you, the divine in you, does know the meaning of what you see. But the part of you that's upset doesn't know the meaning of what you see. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you always know which one of those minds you're in. You know if you're upset or you're not. You're right? So if I'm upset and I begin to get conscious, the first thing I go is, I'm upset, I don't understand. I used to go, I'm upset, I know what you did. That's the way it used to work for me. I don't know if you all have those human characteristics, but that's what my human nature used to do. I'm upset is something you've done. Now I'm learning to go, I'm upset, I don't understand. How should I respond to this? What's going on? Like really taking a second to ask yourself, what's going on? Okay. He says, if you tell yourself you know what's going on, then you're not going to ask the Holy Spirit what's going on. So that's what paragraph 2 says. Who knows basically what the process is that I just shared in your own words?
We have to become as little children, okay. Understand that we don't know what's going on,
okay.
And then ask what's going on.
Bam! All right.
Notice be vulnerable to be able to realize you don't know. And be humble to think you don't know.
That's why most adults don't do it.
Exactly.
Because adults are programmed that they should know even when they don't know. So much so that people can ask you something that you know you don't know and you still try to make up an answer if you're an adult. You find very few adults that say, I don't know. They try to figure it out. Rather than just go, I don't know. You know? So you have to surrender to a certain extent just to go, I don't know.
And I think for Adam, at least for me, it comes to a point when you're a kid, you ask everything. When you become an adult, it's so hard to ask. You don't ask.
That's right. But see, when you're a kid...
You have to go back.
A kid thinks they have an adult to ask. Mm-hmm. An adult thinks that they're at the top of the feeding chain, mm-hmm. food chain. So adults don't go any higher because they think that's what the ego is. It's that part of us that thinks it knows everything. It's a part of us that thinks it's in control of everything. And so the Course is saying, you still have a creator, you still have a parent, but it's just not in a visible form that you're accustomed to seeing that you can still communicate with. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why this kind of material either makes sense or it doesn't. You know, it's like I'm no longer in my classes trying to make it make sense to people that it doesn't make sense to. Because either you're ready to hear another way to look at it or you're not, and the time you spend trying to convince somebody, it's time you could be spending working with the people that already want to go there.
So if we say, I don't know, that switches off the ego.
That switches off the ego.
The ego can't say that.
Even though it's true about the ego is the part of things it knows and doesn't know.
So if we can hit the off switch by saying, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
and then instead of thinking that God is invisible and we can't ask to recognize that this is God in form, and it's okay to ask other forms of God, because
I would even in my perception when I say ask another form of, if it's like they're gonna speak, it's like in this case, let me put it this way, in this case the Course is asking you to go to the Holy Spirit within yourself.
Within.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, because if you ask another person who has a human viewpoint,
they're just gonna give you an ego answer.
So okay. that's what I mean by that.
Okay.
If people give you more accurate spiritual answers when they aren't trying to.
So then when we do hear those answers that we weren't expecting from another person,
yeah.
it's okay to recognize that was God speaking.
Yeah, you recognize that.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, because they may not even be talking to you. They may be talking about something else to somebody else, and you overhear it.
Yeah.
And it'll be just the thing that you needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line I love in here that he says, consciously selected miracles can be misguided.
Mm-hmm.
And what that simply means to me is that, you know, when you decide on what the right answer is, what the right thought, what you need, you know, in another level, how to think somebody else and what somebody else needs, and then you're going to go over there and give it to them, that's a consciously selected miracle. That's a consciously selected healing. And that can be misguided. The world is full of people that have been destroyed by good intentions of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So just because you have a good intention doesn't necessarily mean what you're about to do is either accurate, right, or helpful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I consciously decide I'm going to fix you, oh, I know what your problem is, and I, you know, let me just fix you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I think that it was kind of, that's why a lot of times I find that people who come to me for sessions of their own free will, because they are motivated from within, are always easier people to work with than somebody who's coming under the threat, under some kind of a threat.
Or they've been sold
something. Yeah, because you want, as you begin to become more conscious, I'm going to keep saying that, you become much more about free will and willingness than you are about forcing anything. That's how, that's the difference between conscious and unconscious. You know, if you're conscious, you know you'll always attract to you what's yours. If you're unconscious, you're always trying to manipulate it into being, with my favorite game. It's called Earl's Plans. That's the code name. Earl's Plans. Okay, that's my getting ready to try to make everything into what I want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Gotta figure it out.
Yeah.
So like, okay, so I ask. Mm-hmm. And my ego answers. That makes me mad. I mean, I think it's my ego answering, because it sounds like my ego that's answering.
Well, you can tell it's your ego answering by how you feel. You can tell your ego answering by how you feel.
Right.
So you just ask. You just ask again. That's the. If you don't know how your ego communicates, then you can't recognize your ego except how you feel.
Right.
You know, it's like if you learn the course, you'll know when it's your ego telling you something, and when it's your spiritual self telling you something. Because the course's purpose is to teach you how to tell the difference between the voice of fear and the voice of love. That's why when someone said they study the truth and they go, oh, okay, God, I just said Holy Spirit help me. Yeah, but if you don't know how the Holy Spirit communicates, if you don't know how love communicates, if you don't know how God communicates, then how can you tell when you're hearing something that's coming from God? So the average person tries to use their ego to interpret which voice is talking to them. They're not even using it. It's their ego trying to figure out the voice for God. It's the part of me that's afraid and upset that's trying to decide which voice is God's. You know, and so the Course says one of the ways you can skip around that is to pay attention to how you feel. If you're feeling more fear, you're interpreting it through your ego. If you're feeling more peace, you're interpreting it through your Holy Spirit. And the key word is interpreting it through. You know, if I get an answer and I feel more afraid and I feel more coerced and I feel like it's something that I'm not going to benefit through, then it's probably my ego interpreting.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm wrong.
And that's why you go, I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. This is the way I feel. I don't like the way I feel. I hope I'm wrong. I want another way to look at it. Perhaps there's another way of looking at it. Then you ask again, well, what can I lose by asking for another way of looking at it? When you find yourself going through those steps, then you can safely say you're beginning to apply it. That's what I mean by application versus, like if, in other words, I'm upset, but the first thing I do is just call somebody to blame the person for what I'm upset about. That is not practicing the truth. If I'm upset because you said something to me and I go, at least I can decide I don't like how I feel about what you just said right now, so I really hope that's wrong. I really want another way to look at this. Perhaps there is. I'll ask for it. Holy Spirit, how should I look at this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got the presence of mind to do that, you're applying the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by applying the truth. But when you go into those states, again, the average person, it just goes back to their previous program, then they get upset with the Course. They say, well, the Course in Miracles doesn't work. How many times today have you said, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel now, so I hope I'm wrong? None. How many times have you stopped and said, I really want to look at it enough, for real? How many times have you, how many times do you do your workbook? How many times do you meditate? How many times do you study this? And none. Then why would you expect a cake if you never put the ingredients together and put it in the oven? Just because you looked at the cake mix, you're supposed to be having the cake, you know, you're looking at the cake mix and you say it's not working because you're not getting the cake. And so I tell people, if it's that hard, then maybe it's not your path. You know, if it ever inspires you to get into it, maybe it's not your path. Maybe it's just some additional information you're just giving yourself along with the rest of the information you're just giving yourself. But it's not necessarily your path. It's just more information that you add to the other stuff you study. That's the difference between something being your path. If it's your path, then you want to do it. you accept it, and yeah, there's going to be some confusion and disorientation sometimes because you're learning, but it never deters you from continuing to move forward in it. If it's not your path, every little block that comes up, you're freaking out, you're upset, and you're using it as an excuse not to do it. Well, that's not your path. See, the course is my path. From the time that I got introduced to it 3 years before I got into it. I opened the book up, saw the terminology, didn't understand what it said, but I was into metaphysics, so I said, to heck with this. And I didn't check it out for 3 more years. Then I walked into a room, and somebody invited me to a course class. I walked into the class. And for whatever reason, that night I was ready, and I never looked back. I finished the text within a month. I couldn't put it down when it was time. You see what I mean? So nobody said to ever make me do my course class or make me read the course, even though my ego reacted to it just like everybody else's ego does. It didn't understand it, go to sleep, it would get mad, but nothing that it would do would deter me from continuing to study it. It was like I knew it was right, I knew it was true, but I didn't believe it. I knew it was true, but I didn't believe it. That's not the same as fighting. I always invite people, stop. If you're fighting it, you're not ready for it. If you're fighting it, you're not ready for it. If you're fighting it, you're not ready for this form. And you can ask for the Holy Spirit to give you another form that you are ready for. And you will still end up in the same place, peace. But this might not be your form. You know, so that would be, yeah.
Something that helps me, and I don't know how the first feels about it, but something that helps me is just doing muscle testing to know when the Holy Spirit talking to me. I mean, sometimes it is sort of hard to know.
Well, that's why I'm going to go back again and say, if you study the course, you would know. You would know because of how you felt. You would know because of what you're hearing yourself say, and you would know because of what the other person is saying, because the Course teaches you how to tell the difference between the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and that's my whole point, that you don't have to guess. You know, you don't have to wonder. We only wonder because we haven't learned the thought system. We only wonder because we haven't taken the time, like what he's saying right now. If I'm upset, I don't understand what I mean, what it's saying. I need to ask what it's saying. I know my Holy Spirit knows what it means, my higher self. It would tell me if I ask. Okay, that's all the Spirit is trying us to get us to get, that much. If you're upset about something, you don't understand what it means, ask. Be as a little child. There is a part of you that does know. If you think you do know, then you won't ask. See, that's what I'm saying. That's all this paragraph is really trying to get us to see. It's really nothing to analyze about it, actually. It's really about remembering. Remembering what? If I'm upset, I don't understand, I need to ask what it means, because the meaning of it is lost to me because I'm upset, but God has saved this meaning for me, and God will give me the meaning of what's going on that I have thrown away. But if I think I know what it means, I'm not going to ask, because the Course says that the way we do things is we make up our mind and then we ask what to do. He says, whenever you do that, then you're going to get an answer that's totally different from the one you've made up, and then you're going to get upset. And he also says, God is not going to give it to you your way, if your way would rob you of the day of peace that you want, and the answer that you've made up is not the answer. If you decided that I'm the one that's going to make you happy, and the truth is your happiness is going to come in the form of Him, then when God says it's Him, then you're going to get upset because you've already decided it's me. So therefore, you're not open to the answer. But it can't come the way you've made it up to be, because it would rob you of what you wanted. If you want to be in a relationship with me and I don't want to be in a relationship with you, then your desire to have a peaceful relationship, it ain't going to happen. So getting your answer your way, which was as me, as an example, would be robbing you of what you want. I like to use little concrete examples. That's why, even though the Course is talking on a higher level, I feel like just bringing down a little example. See the difference? Mm-hmm. And so the Course is basically saying that's what we do all the time. We decide on how we think it should be, then we ask God what to do. And then we get upset because we don't get it the way we've decided. Of course, if you don't get it the way you decided, because the way you decided, basically, it's a screwed up way. Okay, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. Just because you want it that way doesn't mean it's the best way for you, Earl. You see what I mean? So I can have what I want if I'm willing to have it the way that I can really have it. Most people, they don't want it the way that they can really have it. They want it the way they've made up that they should have it. And that's what makes the Course so powerful to me. I mean, how can you argue with logic like that? If it was really the way to have it, then the way you've been trying to have it would be the way to have it, and you have it. It's just that simple. And the Course doesn't give any credence to temporary joy and temporary happiness, which is our big thing. Okay, I'll say I'm really happy today, then you see me 3 hours from now and I'll be upset about something. But of course, that wouldn't happen in the first place. Because real happiness doesn't end. Happiness based on the script that it looked like was acted out is what we call happiness. Okay, I wanted to go out with you this evening. You said, okay, I can go out with you. I'm happy. See, I made up how I thought it should be. It happened to seem to turn out that way. Now I'm happy. You called me an hour before we're supposed to get together, say you can't make it. Now I'm unhappy. So my happiness was no more real than my unhappiness because it was based on something outside myself, which was me going to the movie with him. And if I make my happiness based on anything outside of myself, I can be absolutely sure that once you wake up that that is not real happiness. So you can enjoy it as best you can, but you never deceive yourself into thinking it's real because anything that can change isn't real. But he says the best thing that can happen in this world is that things can change. Which means, no matter what situation we're in, it can always change for the better. So that's the flip of it. Yeah, if it can change, it's not real, but if it's sad, it can change into joy. That's real. That's true, too. You know, if you're unhappy here, it can change into joy here. Okay? All right. Let's go to the next paragraph because it's going to explain how you do this anyway. He says, now, you don't know the meaning of anything you see. Not one thought you hold is totally true. The recognition of this is your firm beginning. All right, so what do I need to recognize in order to begin to have the answer? I really don't understand the meaning of any of you, and there's not one thought that I have that I got from the world that's totally true. There's nothing that came from my ego that's totally true, and I do not understand this situation, and there's none of my thoughts about this situation is true. Why? Because none of my thoughts are giving me peace. None of my thoughts about you are true because none of my thoughts about you are giving me peace. I don't understand what I see, and not one thought I have is completely loving, completely, totally, 100% true. That's your firm beginning. Now, does the Course ask us if we believe that? No, because it really doesn't care if we believe that. Because it doesn't have anything to do with the truth of it. I can think I understand what I see, and I can think I have thoughts that are totally true. But that doesn't necessarily make it true. So my firm beginning is to say, when I'm afraid, I don't know the meaning of what I see. My thoughts about this are not totally true. He says, the recognition of this is your firm beginning. He says, you are not misguided. You have accepted no guide. To be misguided, you have to be listening to God. The Course says, we're not misguided. We don't even listen to guides at all. The whole concept of God is alien to our culture for most people. The whole idea that you would have a guide. When I tell people I go to my inner guide, they just kind of look at me. Because that's a totally alien concept to an ego. Because to an ego, the ego is God. What I mean by an ego, I mean a person who thinks that they are separate, autonomous, on their own, and not connected to anything else, and they can be a victim. That's the ego mind. So the ego mind is simply the person that thinks that they're separate. I have one. And so do all of you. Okay? And our peace comes from recognizing it and not letting it advise us. Our peace doesn't come from spending all your time trying to get rid of it. Okay? That's a waste of time. Don't try to get rid of your ego. You just learn how not to let it direct your actions. So it's like it's still barking and saying this stuff. But you just, like you were saying, but you just don't do what it says. You know, my ego will say, you want to do stuff, don't go to the class today, go to the park, it's a beautiful day. Okay, thank you. that part of my mind that wants to go to the park and not go to the class. But you know what? I'm going to the class. See, that's what you do with your ego. That's a low down dirty dog that's out to get you, da 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 da. You go, okay, thank you, ego part of my mind. But I'm not going to use it. I'm going to see it as a call for love, and I'm going to give it to the Holy Spirit. See what I mean? So you're going to have your ego, but you just don't let it direct your actions. Because when it does, you're innocent, but you've gone unconscious, right? And when you go unconscious, you still have to deal with the consequences of what you do when you're unconscious. It's not that the universe is punishing you, but if you rob a bank when you go unconscious, then you may have to go to jail when you're conscious. Because of what you did. You see what I'm saying? So being unconscious is no excuse for the result of what you've done in unconsciousness. If I was not conscious that you were not the right person for me and I got into a relationship with you in my unconsciousness, I'm still going to go through the pain of that decision because I made that decision out of my unconsciousness. And if I wake up and realize it was a mistake, that still don't stop me from being married to you if we got married. So I still got to deal with the result of what I did when I was unconscious, but I deal with it from a conscious place, not an unconscious place. So I go, I don't understand this marriage. I really don't understand what's going on in it. I really need to know what this means. Why are we together? What's the purpose of this? What is it for? He says what you do. You say, you go, what is this for? What's the purpose of it? Because the purpose determines the outcome. It's going to be what we decide it is. So I need to get clear about what this relationship means to me, what you mean to me, because I don't know what you mean to me because I'm so upset. I'm so unhappy in this relationship, I couldn't possibly know what it means. Because if I knew what it meant, and I was in agreement with what it meant, I wouldn't be so miserable. So I'm miserable because I'm with you because I didn't want to be alone. I'm miserable because I didn't have a clear-cut purpose for us being together at the very beginning. Or I had a purpose that was not a real purpose. I had a purpose that had to do with what? Now, what would be not a real purpose? It would be a purpose that only had to do with my happiness and not ours. He says, that's how you can tell. It's an unreal purpose if it's all about you. It's a real purpose if it's all about us, while respecting each other's freedom and individuality. So most people form relationships. They don't go, I see this person across the room. What are all the wonderful things I can do for them? They usually go, I see the person across the room, I think they may be able to take care of a need. Whether it's a need to be with somebody tonight, the need to have a relationship, the need to whatever. It's very seldom the average person, when they look at you, they're thinking about, how can I make it better for you? There's usually some need that they have that they think you're going to be able to meet, and that's why they choose you as opposed to everybody else in the room. Because whatever their past has taught them about what they need, it looks like you fit that bill. So one thing that was interesting when I first started teaching the course, being in a black body, a black male body, always teaching the primary classes and for people primarily in white bodies, especially white female bodies, in the South, where there's a lot of racial illusion and separation about what you don't do between the races, especially if you grow up in the city where people grew up in that and they were closer to my age, is that I knew Spirit was doing that so I could really stay focused, because I simply was not going to have women interested in me the way I would if I was white. Just because of their cultural background. Where when I was teaching a predominantly black group, it was a whole different ball game as far as the relationships and the relationship opportunities that would show up. You see what I mean? So my point in saying that is that everything is set up for a reason, however it's set up, and there is a good reason for it at first. You know, more people in white bodies have changed their mind about people in black bodies because of me. Their relationship with me helped change their mind about a lot of stuff. And they've come up to me and they told me that. You see what I mean? So the Holy Spirit gave them a demonstration, which is what the Course is saying. A teacher is a demonstrator. If you're really in a valid situation, then you're demonstrating it. So I don't really pay a lot of attention anymore to what people tell me. It's what they do that shows their level of consciousness. Because if you learn how to read by high school, then everybody can read. And everybody can repeat back what they read if they want to. So that has nothing to do with intelligence. That has nothing to do with wisdom, the fact that we've been educated. Education and wisdom is not the same thing. You see what I mean? So I can tell you anything you want to hear. I can say all the right things. So, and I know you all could to me. If you wanted to, all of you all could say something to me very loving and very conscious. But in the end, how are you treating me? How am I treating you? How are you seeing me? How am I seeing you? So if I want a new reality, he says, well, what you do is you recognize you don't understand, right? And he says, and you tell yourself, not one thought that I'm having is completely true. That's how you go into the new thought system. And it says, you are not misguided. You have accepted no guide at all. So instruction and perception is your great need because you don't understand anything. So the Course says, what's the greatest need you have? You need to be instructed in how to perceive. So the Course in Miracles is instruction in how to perceive. Okay, let me give you some more tips. He says to perceive means to interpret. So therefore, we need instructions in how to interpret. That's what perceive means. See, when I say interpret, it gets more concrete for me. You know what I'm saying? If I say, if I ask the Holy Spirit to have me perceive you differently, then that sounds a little bit abstract. Right? Okay, perceive you differently. Okay. I know me. We need to get it far away. Okay. That's why I never had a spiel on my computer, even though I've been a nerd for 18 years. I know me well enough that I put jugs and jars 3 feet away. I literally don't can't even accidentally bring them anywhere near my stuff. I know me. If there's any way to hit it, I'm going to do it. You know, if there's any way to get to it, like I might do it before I leave here. I bump this and that'll drop on that and that'll fly over there. Somehow or another, I'll get it to do it, you know. And the purpose of that was to make me forget what I was getting ready to say. Okay, thank you. See, that's what's so cool about sharing thoughts. Okay. So if I say I need to interpret him differently, then all of a sudden that seems to open a window. I need to interpret you differently. And so he says, so what does that mean? Well, if he cursed me out, I need to interpret that different. Holy Spirit, give me another way to perceive means give me another way to interpret. I want another way to look at this means I need another. I want another way to interpret this. Okay. Really, the truth is, he just had something happen that really, really upset him, and he walked in the room and he was upset and didn't have nothing to do with me whatsoever. Right? So really was a call for love. So I could look at it like he attacked me, or I could look at it like whatever going on right now, something is upsetting him. He's got a call for help. He's got a call for love. And I could go, oh, man, is everything okay? Because it looked like you're really upset. See, so I didn't attack him when he went off. I said, hey, is everything okay? Because I interpreted it as he was calling for help instead of interpreting it as he was trying to attack me. So then he would give me, and most likely if I could be that same, then I'm almost guaranteed to get a different reaction from him. If you could really take a moment to go, how should I respond to this? Just that little second that you give yourself could be enough to let some other way of dealing with the whole thing come through. That's all the book is trying to do. It's just trying to create an opening. You know? And when you say, how should I respond? That's an opening. But when you go, I know that Joker just don't like me. I don't like him either. See, I didn't ask. And then I go, well, how should I deal with him? I already made all these decisions, and then I come, and then I go, well, God, how should I look at this low-down person? Well, you've already made a decision how you should look at this person. You're saying they're a low-down person. You've already made a decision before you even asked me. And then if I tell you he's really not a low-down person, he's a really loving person, then you go, what? See, because I've already made the decision you're a low-down person. So I got an answer, different from the answer I made up. Then I react as if I've been attacked. He said, that's what we do all day long. We make up our mind, and then we ask for guidance. We get an answer that's different from what we decided, and we go, what? And then we get mad, and we don't do it. Because I really wanted you to give me an answer to my question the way I saw it. When I said, God, what should I do? You should have been in total agreement with my perception.
You were just looking for reinforcement.
I was just looking for reinforcement.
Really asking a question.
Thank you. And that's what most people do. Whenever they ask anything, you see that all the time as a teacher. People will ask you a question, you answer it, and they say, but what about what you already had an answer? And what you were doing, you were looking for me to say whatever it was you had decided. Or you wouldn't have come back with, but what about? Mm-hmm. It's because you would have known you didn't know the answer, so therefore you wanted the answer, and you got the answer, and you used the answer because you had no idea what the answer was. But if you made up an answer, and then you ask me a question, and I don't say what you've already made, then you go, well, what about that? Well, what about, well, really, then what you really want, you should have done is made a statement. I believe that you handle it blah, 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 blah way. But people ask questions in order to make statements, to state their point of view most of the time.
Mm-hmm. So I think at that point you're so unconscious, you don't even ask. You're not even aware you have that God inside of you or that spirit.
Well, that's where forgiveness comes in, because when you go unconscious like that and you blank out like that,
okay.
There are two things. That's a great point that you made. That's why you have to forgive yourself, because at that point you're asleep. You don't know what you're doing. And so when you come back to awareness, you have to forgive yourself, because that was your call for love. But the trick is to catch yourself before you go unconscious. And you can always tell when you're about to go unconsciousness, because you feel that little twinge, that little stab of guilt, that little twinge of annoyance. We all know how we feel when the unconscious is getting started. When the ego is getting started, you usually feel some irritation before you actually go off. Now, you can pretend you don't feel it and miss the cues, but if you could catch yourself, as soon as you see yourself going crazy, you could head it off at the pass. But at the point you've gone crazy, at the point you've actually gone into your unconscious state, well, then all you can do at that point is learn how to forgive yourself for it, because that was your call for love. And the same thing is true with other people. You will not be able to make a person see reason the once they've gone unconscious. The once they're in their pain body, the once they are completely angry and crazy and upset, if you try to share the truth with them, at that point they're going to want to attack you more.
Mm-hmm.
So they already mad, and you say, well, why did you create that, or you did that to yourself, or you know you're the one creating it. I wouldn't advise that. Okay? The best thing to do is to separate, to heal. If it's just too outrageous, get away from it for a minute so that you can get back and ask how. If you're really conscious, you go like, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to see this. I want to see it another way. I need to get back away from this for a minute, and I'll come back after I've had a chance to get another way to look at it. And it don't matter whether they want you to or not. They can go, well, I want you to stay here and talk to me. That doesn't matter. You're not talking to them. You're talking to their ego. So there's nothing you can say to their ego that's going to change anything. When a person's gone into their ego, you're not going to change their ego. I'm telling you, you're not going to change their ego. All you can do is try to give them a safe place to express, if possible. If you can stay there conscious, then let them go ahead and get it out. Because once they get it out, the truth is behind that illusion. So, you know, sometimes the person can just vent. They'll be the ones that say, oh, I know what I just said was wrong, and I'm sorry, I really went off on you and didn't have anything to do with you. Why did they get to that point? Because you went ahead and let them go ahead and get all of it out without interrupting them. That is one way. If you really feel innocent, you can pull that off. If you believe anything about a person, if you believe anything about what a person is saying to you, then you get upset too. So if I call you out of your name and you get upset about it, then you, some part of you resonate, you believe that too, or you wouldn't even be affected by it. It would be so ridiculous. It's like someone walking in this room and saying, Earl, you are a kangaroo. And I went, oh, no, I'm not. What you mean? But then, why would I do any of that if I knew I wasn't a kangaroo? I should just look at them and go, what? But if I get angry, then I've given power to that idea. So you reveal much more about your belief system by the things you get upset about than the things you're not upset about.
If we're dealing with kids and there's something that needs to be corrected, if it's making us upset, then we're not correcting the right thing, right?
Or you're not seeing it correctly.
Okay.
When you think about the course, think of it in terms of interpretation.
Okay,
so I'm upset because I'm not interpreting what's going on correctly. It doesn't mean it necessarily. It's hard to believe that the Course teaches that at the point that your perception is completely corrected, you will not get upset about death. That at the point that you really see the way that you're going to see, you will not get upset about death, which we consider to be the ultimate thing that can happen to somebody. Because you would know there is no death. You would know there was only a body being laid down, and that body was being laid down. Not only that, but that soul chose that, and that soul somehow benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that we should look at it that way now, because we haven't learned how to look at things that way. So to try to put that strain on yourself would be the ego. that what it does do is it lets you know how you will see things one day when you really see correctly, which helps me understand that I don't see things correctly yet. So I can be more gentle with myself when I get upset. I can be more gentle with myself when I go unconscious, because I don't have an unrealistic expectation of myself. You see what I'm saying? Is that the more you get upset about your ego, you're just making your ego stronger. Okay? Every time, you're not being noble when you say, oh, my ego made me, you know, it's like, well, if you're mad about it, you're just feeding it. If you go, oh, man, that's my ego. I was mad today. See, that's different. That's my ego. I got to make sure I don't never do it. That's your ego trying to build itself up. It's a good trick.
For people to live with you, like, for me with my kids, I'm really trying to not get angry at anything. And she tells me, you're not putting attention to me anymore. You don't care if I fight with my sister.
That's going to bring the other lesson. That's why I like questions like that. Because everybody can say that. People who don't understand the truth are not going to necessarily recognize what you're doing. And you still have to do what you know to be the truth. You can't bring everybody along with you. They're not going to necessarily interpret what you're doing the way you're interpreting it. If you know the reason that you're doing it that way is correct, then that's all that's necessary. And you can tell your daughter very honestly, no, this is the way I see it, and I'm reacting to it the way that I feel is the best way for me to react to it and do it. And I love you. Okay? I love you. You're saying I don't care. I'm saying I do. I love you, and this is the way that I'm handling it. You don't owe her any. She doesn't have to understand your process for you to feel okay about using your process, unless you feel guilty about your process yourself. And then if you feel guilty about not getting upset about whatever, then it's going to affect you when she says something about it, because a part of you feels like you ought to be getting more upset when she's upset with her sister. You see, so she's triggering in you a belief you have also, which is that you should be acting more upset yourself. But if a person really believes in the rightness of their position, then they don't really care whether somebody else necessarily agrees with that position. Like, you know what I mean? It's like if this group got together and decided that it was okay to go stick their hand on the hot stove, and I disagreed with that. Well, I don't care if y'all got 20 more people to agree, and now it was 30 people saying, go put your hand on the stove. And then they got 100 more people. And they said, well, it's 100 of us now, so certainly it's okay to put your hand on the stove. I feel that I could say no, because I know that's right for me, right? Well, the same thing's going to happen on this spiritual path in this new direction that you're going on. You're not going to be always understood by people. Some people are going to think you're nuts. They're going to call you selfish. They're going to call you cruel. They're going to do everything to get you to come back into the old thought system. But if you
back.
Yeah, but if you know it's true for yourself, then you won't be tempted any more than I would be tempted to put my hand on the stove.
Okay.
Because you know in yourself that what you're doing is coming out of love. And I always think about this. The world's way, as far as I'm concerned, has already been given a good opportunity. So when people try to get me to do stuff the way the world says, it doesn't impress me that much, because I think that's what's already gotten. I've already seen attack. I've already seen judgment. I've already seen competition. I've already seen control. I've already seen what people are saying do. Go talk to them about it and see if you can't get them to change. I've tried. You know, we've all done the world's way. So the Course is saying, well, let's look at it another way. But then my old self is going to say, that's crazy. So it's not my old self that's going to do what the Course says. It's like this. There's me, there's my higher self, and there's my ego. Okay? The higher self of this class is talking to me. It's not talking to my ego. And it's my ego that's saying, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And my ego is going to go, this doesn't make any sense. My thought system is about separation, guilt, projection, attack, and blame. And so unless he's talking in those terms, temporary terms, anger terms, separation terms, special terms, that's crazy. Don't believe what he's saying. Okay? Because I live in a world that's all about separation, anger, and attack, and grievances, and everybody blaming, and the whole thing. So I'm the ego. That's the world I live in. The loving self is saying there's a world where you can have total peace and bliss. And Earl, the Christ, is listening to what his higher self is saying. So the Course says, I'm talking to you, I'm not talking to your ego. So I'm not trying to teach anybody's ego in this room. Your ego would never agree with me. Your ego is made up of the opposite of this. Same thing about our friends and relatives. You have to start going, that's my brother's ego. That's my daughter's ego. That's my friend's ego. But there is a real being there that is beyond the ego. And I need to start to accept that that's true so I can start communicating to the real part of this person. And to communicate with the real part of a person doesn't require a physical conversation. Because in most cases, you're going to have a physical conversation with their ego if there's upset. And the ego is like the hand, you know what I'm saying? Like that little popular thing, hey, look at the hand, you know, I ain't listening. So if I'm dealing with a completely ego person, I try to bypass their ego by not engaging their ego in a relationship, but communicating with who I know they really are, which increases your belief that there's something in us beyond just the body. That's one good thing about that. It increases that idea that we may have a spiritual identity because you're acting like I have one by communicating with it beyond my ego. Does that make any sense? It's like we're saying we believe in the invisible, but yet when someone says ask the invisible for advice, we go, Well, if I say to you, there is a higher self in me, if you really want to get a message across to me, talk to him and not crazy Earl that's angry and upset. And then to do that, you have to believe there really was a higher me to talk to. So if you couldn't take the time to do that, it would be obvious that you don't believe a higher self of everybody exists. Or that wouldn't seem like a strange statement. Like Gary Renard's book, Disappearance of an Universe, which is based on the idea that two invisible masters showed up in his living room, dictated this book to him, and then he put it out. A lot of people, there's some controversy in the community, quote unquote, about whether that really happened or not. Right? That sounds preposterous to some people. But whether it happened or not really isn't the issue. The thing that's interesting to me is that if that's true, that we really are not bodies and there really is an invisible side and that we really do have guides, why would it be so preposterous that someone could have an experience where they communicated with that guide? So it kind of brings home, do you really believe in what you're talking about or not? Do you really believe that we're spiritual beings or do you just think we're human beings? Do you just believe nothing is real unless you can see it, taste it, touch it, and smell it physically? Because the Course says if you're that kind of person, he calls you blind. He says the most blind being there is a being that only can perceive the outside of things. And that's what we look at. You're looking at the outside of my form, I'm looking at the outside of yours. And he says anybody that believes that's all there is to life, that's a person that's asleep. So if someone tells you stuff like, if I can't see it, I can't smell it, that animated feature out the Dr. Seuss movie. Horton Hears a Who. It ought to be a sign reading to anybody that studies metaphysics or spirituality. It has so many spiritual truths in it, it'll blow your mind. One of the popular sayings is that if you can't see it, if you can't touch it, if you can't smell it, then it's not real. And that's so arrogant. Because scientists have proven many, many times dogs can hear things that we can't hear. So what they're hearing actually exists. Just because it's beyond our range, we can't hear it, so we say it doesn't exist. So the Course is saying, just expand on that, and you'll understand the whole spiritual path. There are whole realities that are other levels of consciousness that you're not on. So you think they don't exist. They don't exist to you because you can't hear that. You're not on that frequency, just like the dog can hear things, and we're not on that frequency. So this is about bringing us up to another frequency that takes us into a reality that is totally loving as opposed to one here that's fear and love, fear and love, fear and love, fear and love. So rather than believing there's another reality that we can go to by raising our consciousness, he says what we try to do is fix the illusion. So we're busy trying to fix the illusion rather than going to the reality. So everybody's in a repairing thing. Let's repair. Let me fix my job. Let me fix my relationship. Let me fix myself. Why don't you get to know yourself that don't need fixing? Why don't you get to know the self that knows there is no lack, there is no fear, there is no sickness, there is no loneliness? Why don't you get to know that self rather than fix the one that don't believe any of this? Let it dissolve. Let it fade away. That would be the easier way. Don't try to change your ego. You know what I'm saying? Just remember. That would be the easier way. And then have people in your life to help you remember. Everybody can help you remember, but I mean the ones that help you remember and you enjoy it. Right? Because everybody can help you remember if you want to remember. I just want some gentle teachers. I'm tired of the teachers that are, okay, this is a lesson I got to learn, so let me figure and see if I can stick it out, because I got to learn. I'm so over those lessons. So tired of that. And I wish you easier lessons, too, that's not based on always something hard that you're trying to overcome so that you can learn. I'm going to finish this paragraph, so maybe we have a couple of thoughts to walk out of here with. Don't worry about what to do. Think of it in terms of, if you're upset today, tell yourself, I'm upset, so therefore I really don't understand what this means. Spirit, please give me another way to look at this. And Spirit will, whether you read the course or not. Somehow or another, you'll be given another way. But even if you've been coming to the class, you've heard at least one other way you know you could try to use. Don't shoot for an instantaneous emotional change of mood. It will discourage you. In other words, I'm mad, I'm upset, right? Then I go, I want another way to look at it. And it says, well, this is a call for love, but you're mad. So if you, and you think, because I just said this is a call for love, my anger should go instantly away. You're going to keep your anger longer. If you're judging, because you're still judging the response. And you have to stop judging your responses. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's like, this is the way I'm responding. This is the way I feel. I want another way to look at it. This is a call for love, and this is the way that I feel about it. This is the way that I feel. It's just the way that I feel.
It's not who I am.
It's not who I am. Yeah, it's just the way that I feel, right? And I may not get over this feeling. You know how sometimes you're mad, and somebody else wants you to get over it right then? And they'll say stuff like, oh, why don't you go and get over it right now, you know? And they want to, come on, give me a big hug. And you don't want to hug them right then. You know, you still got to let, you got to process that feeling. You got to let that feeling, it's almost in a way they're saying it's not okay for you to have your feelings. And I want you to stop your feeling when it's convenient to me. And right now, I want you to not be upset because I don't feel like it right now. You know? And you don't feel, and you go, no, right now, you know, just take your hands off me right now. Don't hug me right now. I just need to have a minute to myself. That's honoring yourself. But if you get fooled by the being positive thing, what you do is not want to be touched. Say touch me, because you know you ought to be so forgiving that it's okay for them to touch you, even though you don't want to be held at all. You got what I'm saying? Because you're trying to be spiritual. So even though I don't want you to touch me, it's a good course to it. I'm going to say, come on, give me a hug anyway, even though that's not what I really want you to do, but I want to be spiritual. And you would not, if you were being spiritual, you would say, I really appreciate you saying that, and right now I still need a little time to myself to get back centered. I'd be okay. Just give me a minute. So you honored yourself.
So you can plug in any of the separation terms. It doesn't have to be anger. You can talk about fear.
Yeah, any of them. Any separate. Yeah. Absolutely. Fill in the blank. You know? Everybody with me on that? That the only thing that happens when you begin to become more conscious is you become more honest. You pretend less, not more. So a person that's very enlightened could look very unenlightened to the ego. Mm-hmm. You know, a person that's conscious might say, I really hate everybody today, and I wish everybody was dead. And then a person will go, well, you couldn't be spiritual and say something like that. Yes, I am. I'm so spiritual that I'm telling you exactly what I feel, and it has nothing to do with what I really do. It has nothing to do with who I am. This is just a feeling that I'm having right now. And I'm so unafraid of my feelings, and I'm so okay with myself that I'll tell you exactly what a part of me is feeling right now. So really, I am conscious. I'm very enlightened. But you want to kill me, and you're pretending that you don't. You don't like me, and you're pretending that you do. You're the one that's being deceptive. You know what I'm saying? That's the one who's being unconscious, the one who's saying, I love everybody, and they don't trust nobody. The person that's conscious is the one that's going, I don't trust nobody. What? That's the way I feel. I don't trust anybody. See, to the positive person, they'd be freaking at that point. What? Well, no, this person just told you the truth about how they feel in that moment. That's, they're safer to be around than the person who wants to stab you, and they're pretending like they don't. I'd much rather. That's what I like about the Ku Klux Klan. To me, the Ku Klux Klan is just straight up. You know, it's like, I don't like black people. And there are plenty of white people that don't like black people who pretend that they're okay with it, and plenty of black people don't like white people who pretend that they're okay with it. So I would much rather be somebody. That's what the difference between the North and the South was to me growing up from a racial perspective. People in the North thought they were more liberal, so they had the same feelings, but they wouldn't say it. People in the South would just go, I don't like you. So and then it would be white people in the South that would go, I like you. And you know what? They meant it. You know what I'm saying? They meant it. Because there was a culture where if they wasn't about that, they just wouldn't be about that. So it was an honesty that you didn't really experience in other parts of the country where people were trying to be liberal. Because one of the signs of racism, which nobody talks about because they're about to pretend they don't have any, is that the more uncomfortable you are about talking about something, the more you're it. That's your tag. If you can't talk about it, like the minute I said black and you went into a okay, you got racial issues. Or it shouldn't have had any effect. If anything, it would be just the opposite. Please give me the benefits of what you've experienced or your white cultural background. What is it like being Jewish? What does it mean to be Italian? What does it mean to be Latino? Whatever. Let me know what happens. To me, that's exciting because we've got this oneness that we all share, but we also chose to come into an experience that it looks like we have all this diversity, but rather than pretend that we don't, why don't we give each other the fun and the benefits of that? That's what you do when you're different races and you're not racist with each other. You give each other all the fun of your racial heritage. When you're racist, you can't even talk about it, and you got to pretend that we're all just alike at a personality level. So once you begin to become more conscious, it's easy to tell who's racist and who's not. But here's the trick. Even if you know they are, you still would treat them the same the once you wake up, because love is the only answer. So it would be like you would do anything. You'd be aware, but you wouldn't attack them for their racism, because to attack them would be to do what they do. So you can't, you can't meet attack with attack. So I can be around people that I know don't like me, and they'll never know it. Not because I'm being deceptive. It's just because I realize that from the truth perspective, that they are me, and that there's something I need to learn from that. And so I can look at it like, and I want them to be safe. And if they're safe, then that's going to increase the love that we share with each other. So if you're safe, if I want you to know you're safe, then I can't attack you. This is the way it works. If I want you to know that you're safe, then I can't attack you. That would be the first thing. If you feel safe, you're going to communicate with me. And you're going to let me know more and more and more about what I need to do and what I need to know about you. Because you feel so safe, you're not hiding anything from me. Not only that, if you try to hide something from me, then the universe is going to let me know what you're trying to hide from me so that I can become aware of what I need to know. The Course talks about how the Holy Spirit would always let you know what you need to know. And I used to always remember that whenever I would be worried about what people were feeling or thinking or what they might do that I was unaware of. I always remember, he said, I'll always let you know what you need to know. There's this one condition, you cannot attack. That's what cuts off the communication. That's what cuts off the knowledge I'm going to give you. If you take the knowledge that I'm going to give you and you use it in any way against the other person or yourself, you're going to cut yourself off from this information, because I am not going to give you information to attack your brother or sister with. So if you can be peaceful, I'll let you know everything, which is a challenge as a spiritual being, because sometimes the things you find out are things you really want to attack, your ego really wants to attack this person about, that they don't even know you know. You know, because Spirit has let you know why, for one reason only, so that you could be safe. Not that so that you could attack them. It's so that you can be safe. You can know they swindle somebody out of money and everything else, but your knowing that has to do with your being safe. You don't have to. You give them to God. That's between them and God. And if God wants you to tell them something, you'll know it. You'll know it. But in most cases, you're not going to be asked to say anything. That's what's going to be so deep. Your ego, so you need to make everybody aware. See, that's because the ego wants you to go on the attack. it wants you to go on the attack. See, but then when you begin to see how this thing operates, you know that there's nothing more important than safety. So it's not like I'm deceiving you and pretending like I like you so that you can continue to feel safe with me and tell me stuff. It's not from that space. It's God has let me know what I need to know about myself. I'm not going to attack you so that the communication can still continue. So I know that you may have some fears that makes you think you don't like me, so you're talking about me behind my back, and I know what you said, and I know everything about it that you don't even think I even know. But I know that's not you. That's your ego.
So when your ego tells you that you have to warn others, that's just your ego coming up with an excuse for attack.
Unless you feel like, if you really feel like it's the Holy Spirit, if it's the Holy Spirit that's telling you to tell somebody, then you'll know it. That's the best way I can put it. It will be coming from a space where you feel peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel like you're attacking. You see, so that's why I can't prescribe behavior. I can't say that in every situation you would not say something about what you know. What the Course is telling us is not the behavior, it's the way you're seeing it that is trying to teach us. So I just need to understand that person has a call for love. I need to be aware that maybe this isn't somebody that I should be sharing a lot of stuff with, right? But I haven't attacked them. I've just become aware of them. And then the safer they feel with me, then the more they're going to change their mind anyway. And at some point, if they really saw the truth, they wouldn't be even saying anything negative or trying to attack me anymore anyway, because they themselves would see there would be no reason to do it. So it's a twofold solution. I'm safe, so therefore it's going to help you let go of your fear of me. I know that you don't like me, but I know that's your ego, so I know that I need to be aware of how much I share with you also until you can see me correctly. So then I can't be hurt by your ego, and at the same time we can maybe establish some trust at some point, and the Holy Spirit let me know what you were trying to hide from me. So I'm telling you, anything you really, that's why you don't have to worry about following your mate around and whatever you're trying to do. You know, all the stuff that we do, if we really were in touch with our higher self, we would be made aware of what we needed to know without having to do any of that stuff. We really would. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I just got made aware of something I needed to know. So,
mm-hmm.
I tend to notice how I feel and then want to communicate that
mm-hmm.
to someone who's there
mm-hmm.
with me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I just want to clarify is that if they respond with attack or defensiveness, would that mean that I was attacking them?
No. Because they're responding the way they're interpreting what you're doing.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are not responding to you. They're responding to their interpretation of what you just said, okay?
Yeah.
So that means that if you were coming from a pure space within yourself, then you feel innocent about what you said, regardless of how they reacted, because you would know you weren't trying to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I'm sure I'm not trying to hurt you when I tell you something, then no matter how you react, and if I didn't feel guilty, no matter how you react, I could honor the fact that you had a reaction, but at the same time, I would realize that that was not my intent. You know what I'm saying? That you may be taking it.